Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provides research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, director of South Centers, hosts the monthly South Centers Chat. Here's Tom.
Welcome to this session of South Centers Chat. It's my distinct honor and pleasure to have a special guest today, the president of the Ohio State University, Michael Drake. And it's an honor for me to be here on the campus in Columbus. Normally we're out at Rio Grande at the studios on the campus of Rio Grande when we do these sessions, but it's excellent to be here on the main campus of the university today. Welcome, Dr. Drake.
Well, welcome. Nice to see you and very good to have you here in Columbus.
Great. We only had an opportunity to meet, I think, once previously, even though you're my boss, being obviously a employee, faculty member, and a director at OSU South Centers.
Yes.
And I just can't resist sharing just a little bit about this building and my first experience on the very floor, the second floor where your office mm-hmm. is now, coming here as a freshman many, many years ago. And I registered your classes on one end.
10 years at least, right?
Yeah, at least, and multiples thereof. But it still is fresh in my mind as I come up those steps today and think about going to the registrar's desk and picking out the courses and trying to get times, walking to the other end and paying what sounds like a meager pittance, you know, to come here those years ago. But obviously, to me, it's still near and dear to my heart, gave me the opportunities that I've enjoyed to actually come back a second time and a third time at Ohio State University and study agricultural economics all three times. I think you could infer from that I might have been a little thick-headed that it took that many times to get it through. But again, it's great to be a part of the university and under your leadership. And so having shared just a little bit of my background, Dr. Drake, it might be appropriate to share just a little bit of yours relative to University of California in the big scheme of things as a land-grant institution and kind of the experience you had there as part of the land-grant system.
Well, first, great to have a chance to chat with you in a little more depth and, you know, your experience of coming to the university and those really meaningful first days when your mind is wide open and your eyes and ears are you're incredibly observant and engaged at that point and really build lifetime memories. You mentioned memories here in Bricker Hall and a few steps out the back door, the Oval as it was, and so these are things that are indelible memories, and we're really proud to be a part of that long tradition. I know that you and a half a million other people could tell us about that first time they came to campus and what a privilege it is to be able to be a part of such a great institution, how thrilled we've been to be here, and what a wonderful reception we've had as well. It's been great to be welcomed.
Great.
I mentioned that after having spent many, many years at the University of California, I was there for more than 40 years, and which is amazing. I mean, I started very young, but I started as a student, medical student. I'd been at a college nearby as an undergraduate student. Actually, I was at my undergraduate campus just last week. Mm-hmm. And remember walking past the place where I met my wife, which was nice, and so it has all those memories as well.
Great.
But I began, but that was a private university, and it was on a farm, though. It's the private, the nickname for the university was the farm because it started on the farm of the person who founded the university.
And we are in California.
We are in California, so he had a farm and started the farm, and so that was a great place. But the land grant mission started more when I was at the University of California, and I was at a medical only campus.
Mm-hmm.
But I had colleagues at the other campuses, and then after 20 or so years, after going to medical school and residency, and 20 years on the faculty, I joined the central administration of the campus of the system, and so I had responsibilities on all 10 of the campuses.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And the land-grant mission was a very big part of the university system as a whole. So cooperative extension, county agents, a program in every one of the counties was a big part of the university, and we used that a lot there because I was health sciences when I first learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
We focused a lot on telemedicine and outreach and getting services to rural communities, to agricultural communities and others, as well as the founding land-grant mission of educating the people of the region to do good things for the region, and we cared a lot about that, and I grew up with that and was very comfortable coming here.
Great. Well, obviously, California is the number one agricultural state, and when you think of a university campus on a farm, I have all kind of visions of specialty crops and maybe grapes or all the good things that we enjoy in our supermarkets that come from California.
Yes. Well, the farm, you know, what was there, that was in 1891 when the school started. By the time I was there, 80 years later, roughly, it was pretty science focused. So that at the private university, when I was off to the University of California, then the real agricultural focus was the Davis campus, and we spent lots of time there. Davis also had a veterinary medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when I was a health sciences person, that was my direct link there. And so we did lots with the agricultural and veterinary medical school at UC Davis. And so that was the farm animals as well as the agriculture in the Central Valley of California.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grape and wine region that really grew from enology at Davis, a really world-changing, actually, expertise in enology. And so that was great fun for me. I loved it a lot. Like, I had very, very good colleagues there, and we worked on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, of course, agriculture and health are not that far related when we think of the nutrition that we receive from the food that farmers produce and how it's being worked on here at our university as well as others in terms of the nutritional value. And we're even getting into that a little bit at my center in terms of doing more chemical analysis of our berries and, of course, our wine grapes and, to some extent, the hops and so forth that we're involved with. So science is a very big part of course, what the land grant is all about.
Well, I won't say anything about the fact that you mentioned three crops. One was hops and another was wine grapes. And that, but what I would say is that, you know, you mentioned the connection between health and agriculture, and they're really the same thing. I mean, we are what we eat, and so we're really very, very connected. And when I was working in the health arena, we had one of the many, many things I was doing there is we had a global health initiative, and a part of that was a thing called One Health.
Mm-hmm.
And it really meant that food and the animal population and the human population were all really connected, and any divisions between them were artificial, and so we had to make sure we knew how each of the segments would affect the others. So that was very important. We just had a Farm Science Review about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a great event for anyone who hasn't been there, but it's a combination between a state fair and a car show. I mean, really amazing science, amazing technology, great things that help us do a better job of being farmers in an efficient and effective way.
Right.
And the focus that the state has on producing more and better food and on food that is rich in nutrition and produced in a way that can get to lots of people and help people have diets that are really beneficial to them. It's a really big part of what we're doing, and really proud to be associated.
Yeah. Farm Science Review is a big centerpiece of our college's activity, one of the most visible things, I think, each year, and everybody certainly enjoys. I think 117,000 people is what
this year. We had an amazing year. Yeah.
Quite a year. You know, I wonder if you could share with me just a little bit. I heard you. Early in your presidency, you came to our extension annual conference over in the Ohio Union, and you gave an excellent overview of the land grant mission and that tripart mission of teaching, research, and extension, and how you had experienced that in California. You've touched on that a little bit.
Yes.
But, you know, kind of especially thinking about a bit of our southern Ohio audience, you know, out of Columbus, out of the urban areas, into the rural areas of Ohio, how the teaching mission and the access fits into part of your 2020 vision and affordability. You might talk a little bit about the student recruitment and retention here at Ohio State.
I enjoyed my visit to southern Ohio very, very much. And when I came down to see you, I was at Rio Grande and went down to Gallipolis and, you know, had a great day, spent the night in Benton County, worked on a urban farm. Oh, I guess it wasn't so urban. I mean, it was a garden plot at the school, at the high school. And so it was near a big building, but it was really to kind of do a great job.
But you can always say rural when you're in Vinton County.
Oh,
there's
saying,
no
yeah,
danger.
No. Near a big building, but it was actually
in
Vinton County, so it was rural.
Right.
But let me say, worked there with people on trying to connect in a very good way with the good people we met. We were in MacArthur, I think, and that was we had a good day.
Excellent.
And so that's a real important part of what we do, or what we believe we do, is that we are connected to all 88 counties in Ohio. You know, there are people in Cincinnati and people in Cleveland, people toward the east or the west, but everyone's Buckeye.
Right.
And so we have programs and students in all 88 counties.
Okay.
We have a new thing that we've established this year called affordability grants that we've used. We worked on administrative savings, trying to find how people in this building could save some money by being more effective and efficient, and then trying to capture those savings and return them immediately to our students. And so we returned $15 million in need-based aid to our students, lower-income and middle-income, students from lower-income and middle-income families, and we were able to give affordability grants to students in all 88 counties. So we had students all over, and that's a really important thing for us. And our land grant mission is to serve the people of the region in which we were founded. All of these universities were put someplace for the purpose of uplifting the people that were there, educate the sons and daughters of people who are living there. And so that's a really important part of our mission. And then we educate people for them to be able to go into the community and be leaders.
Absolutely.
So when we think about our students, we think of a four-part mission. We have four pillars of excellence that we try to focus on. One is academic excellence, which takes place in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Another is research excellence, which is really creative excellence. So it can be in a laboratory, science research, but it also can be writing a song or a play or something else or a novel. So it's not just bench science creativity or research. It's also research in the human condition and in the arts. So there's academic excellence, research excellence. And then we have character excellence. We think about developing the whole person when they come to our campus. We get people who are routinely just out of high school and first time living away from home, first time living on their own, and there's a lot of growth that takes place over those years. You remember again when you arrived here and the difference when by the time you left here a few years later. And then we think of leadership excellence, that we want people to be able to go back into their communities and take a hand in leading those communities forward. And those, again, tie in with our original founding mission to be able to educate the people of the region to do things that make a difference. We also want to we create, and we disseminate knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So the knowledge that we produce by our creativity or the things that we teach our students, those are fine as an individual learns them, but as they get out into the world and make a difference, that's when they have their real application. That's a very, very important part of our mission. We want to be here in a way that makes a difference to people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, part of what you just said, you know, I'm a kind of a living example, I think, you know, not that I make any great claims to accomplishment and so forth, but the opportunities I've had are a result of coming up here those many years ago, and then one thing builds on to another, as you well know, and where all our paths lead, we don't know, but absolutely it did give me so many opportunities that I would have never had experienced any other way, including this very afternoon. So if I'm not careful, I'll be emotional here, so I want to be careful about that.
Well, but for Ohio State.
Yep.
That's exactly what we say. Right. And I hear that so much.
Yep.
I meet people. When I was on my state tour, when I was down in your neck of the woods, I would meet a wonderful person, and they would say, I'd meet a student, and they'd say, oh, yeah, my father was an Ohio State student. My father met my mother at the Ohio State University. Her mother was an Ohio State University student. My brother is coming next year, so I thought that was a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
In Jackson, I met a guy who said, gee, I've been to every home game for 50 years.
Wow.
And over and over, I talked to people who were affected by the university, who are part of the fabric, the tapestry that's been woven by so many lives, that gives us the rich traditions that we have, and that humbles us in our ability to be associated with growing the future.
It's just really remarkable how those you make those acquaintances and meet people, and the many connections that you do discover. And one kind of goes back a little bit in my background in my work at South Centers, but we met folks over at Jackson who at one time, their family built a facility to grow mushrooms. And I had no idea. I knew there was a mushroom production facility, totally like a big cave, you know, a big concrete building, and with all these rooms to grow mushrooms. But he said, you know, my father heard your dean back in the day, a fellow by the name of Cotman, who was the dean when I came here those many, many years, Roy Cotman, who had been to Pennsylvania, and said, Pennsylvania's growing mushrooms like crazy over there. It looks like we ought to be able to do the same thing in southern Ohio. And he took that and built that facility. And this had run its course, but innovation, entrepreneurship is alive in southern Ohio. The son runs a gold and silver refinery there. So
wow.
He buys, he's the ultimate buyer of a lot of this scrap gold and silver that has become much more valuable, and recast that for further use. So it is.
He's a dear friend of this university.
All right.
Dear friend of this university, and understands the connection that we have to the broader community.
Absolutely.
We appreciate his support.
Absolutely.
Very, very much.
Absolutely.
Really.
He's loyal.
I was at a tailgate with him a game before last, so 10 days.
Okay. You're
a couple hundred yards from
me. Making excellent, excellent connections. Excellent connections. Of course, the research component of the land-grant mission in southern Ohio is represented by a couple of research stations out of our Ohio Agricultural Research and Development Center, part of our College of Food, Ag, and Environmental Science, and that's geared toward the main farm commodity that's produced in Ohio. We have lots of rolling land, so therefore it lends itself more to pasture, so focused on beef, and that is at Jackson, Ohio, as well as Bell Valley, much further east from us, but research is alive and well, both at those locations as well as at Piketon at our OSU South Centers, and we've mentioned a couple of things that are going on there, but even in the Extension office, there's individuals a lot of times get involved in on-farm trials, so we have a lot of activity that represent not only the outreach and Extension component of the university, but combine that with the research. So I think the land-grant mission is live, viable, and trying to do its job in southern Ohio, and we're pleased to be a part of that.
Well, when we visited, I mean, there are the research projects that you mentioned in Myriad, but there was also financial literacy and a whole series of other things that are great for people to know, and so that's a big part of who we are as a university, to touch people in ways that make a difference to them, and so as I said, it's a privilege for us.
Yeah, one of our big programs at OSU South Centers is our business development program, and we were celebrating some of the successes with our business partners as part of our incubator the day that you came in, and you got to meet a few of those, and we see that very much as research-based information that we're trying to provide to very engaged individuals through that, and we count those as partners. A lot of people might refer to them as tenants, as we did maybe in the first few months, but our manager came to me and he said, Tom, we really need to adopt the lingo of their partners because we are working with them to make them successful, and that that denotes something more than a landlord-tenant relationship when they are resident in our building. And of course, I think that in southern Ohio, there's been a lot of efforts to attract new industry and create jobs that way. It's a great strategy, but it doesn't always play out. There are lots of competition for new plants that will employ hundreds of people, but we feel that we're trying to fork from within. And there you go back to that leadership, to people that have been to Ohio State or other institutions and want to give back to the region and try to begin businesses, and we're certainly big supporters of that in throughout southern Ohio. So we have a lot of collaboration with the various business interests and economic development interests, and I think that's a big part of the mission of the university. And I don't know if there's any of the myriad of partnerships that might come to mind that you'd want to talk about, whether it be medically or in education or something else, Dr. Drake?
Well, one to talk about is generally how the cycle works. And I actually listened to a talk given by a colleague, Tina Seelig, and it's nicely described, and she talks about creativity. And creativity is when we have a problem, we think Well, let me start with imagination. Let me be more. So we imagine things, we envision things that don't exist. So that's kind of our imagination.
Mm-hmm. Starts in here.
So it starts in there with your imagining things. And actually, imagination starts with engagement. I mean, you are connected with things, you know things, you have a feeling about things, and you start to think about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine things that don't exist or imagine them working in different ways. And creativity is when we try to think of solutions to those things that we imagine. So we kind of apply our imagination to think of solutions. And then innovation is when we use our creativity to come up with novel solutions, things that haven't been done before, new ways to approach it. And then entrepreneurialism is when you take those innovative solutions and apply them more broadly to populations or to processes or to people, things that really make a difference and lead to fruition. And then the virtuous cycle, when you're an entrepreneur, part of what you need to do is to stimulate the imagination of other people to be able to carry out your vision. And then that leads to creativity and innovation. And so it's a virtuous cycle that goes forward. So in all of the things that you've been talking about, the things that take place here and that are different, we have different partners around the state, we have an incredible number of ideas that are coming up. We have many, many ways to connect those ideas. So it's straightforward and simple things sometimes for us, like connections that we have with the business community.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a trip with the Columbus Partnership a little while ago, multiple business CEOs from this region looking at ways that we can stimulate the region and the economy, thinking a lot about economic development,
mm-hmm.
thinking about jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also been working with people in food security and doing what we can to get healthy, nutritious, appropriate food to people who live in food deserts. I was in a bit of an area when we were down in Benton County. The grocery store closed up a few years ago.
No supermarket.
So there's no supermarket in Benton County, and so people have to travel to go to the grocery store, and that changes the economy of
sure.
the county quite a bit. Here in Columbus, though, we have neighborhoods that don't have full-service
mm-hmm.
Grocery stores. They might have a corner convenience-like store,
right.
but if they want to get fresh and nutritious food for their growing families, it's a difficult thing to do, and it might take them as long to get to the supermarket as it does to somebody who lives in Benton County. And,
mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is to try to look at places where people don't have access to nutritious, effective food and make more food. In a state with the agricultural system and quality of Ohio, we wanted to make sure that no one went wanting for a lack of access.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very, very important to us. At the same time, we have great medical research going on. Oh, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a hospital and we were developing a new neurosciences institute and
mm-hmm.
talking there about the NeuroBridge project that we've taken on with people from neurosciences, from engineering, from Battelle Corporation, so a real public-private partnership. And they have a young man who was in a tragic accident several years ago and had spinal cord injury that left him quadriplegic. Through the NeuroBridge, an implantable device actually implanted in his brain, connected by a wire to his arm. He had learned how to move his arm. I saw him moving fingers about a year ago, and then he got to the place where he can now lift a spoon and pick up a telephone. And so things that were science fiction in the past, it's still at the beginning stages,
sure.
and really amazing things happening there. So we try to touch people in a variety of ways, in ways that make a difference, and try to continue pushing the envelope.
Absolutely. That's great to hear about the great things that are going on in so many different fields. And I think that, you know, your experience, no doubt, would find that many of the problems society faces in this day require all of our forces together, that it's not one discipline that's going to solve it or one university, but it takes, you know, a concerted effort between the various entities and pieces to really address things in a much more holistic way than maybe we have tended to do in the past. It seems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if it's imagination, creativity, innovation, entrepreneurship, solution, I can imagine the whole bunch of things. You and I can imagine so much more. The students and you and I here together can imagine even more than that. And so if we all are putting in our best, all envisioning things that could be,
mm-hmm.
and we're all innovating together, I mean, that just continues to forward. I was visiting, we were in California, in Silicon Valley, and visiting the headquarters of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say they are thinking a lot about innovation and moving things forward, and they have a new office design. It's an amazing thing to see where it's an open office.
Mm-hmm.
1% of the space might be in rooms. or two either. Somebody knows the right answer to that, but very little. 1,000, or again, I shouldn't quote a number, but desk after desk after desk after desk of people who can flow with ideas to and connect with each other rather than going off by themselves and thinking what they can think there. It's a collaborative. It's built to stimulate collaboration, creativity, innovation, and you can just see the ideas and the engine turning as we speak. I mean, it's an incredible thing, and I think in the, as we move forward in the future, you mentioned tenants are really partners, and I think that we're all really partners and collaborators and trying to do what we can to make this a better world, and the more interaction we can have, the better.
Absolutely. That's a very fascinating observation you made about Facebook as we think about the world becoming kind of distant and disconnected through these devices and so forth. But one of the leaders in that, but they value the face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball.
It's totally critical for them, and they and the offices that are there, CEO's office, they're all glass. So you don't, there's no place to hide.
Absolutely. Well, very fascinating. I think we're getting down to the wire here. We've got 3 minutes or so left, Dr. Drake.
But, like a football game. We have the three-minute drill. I know it's a two-minute drill, but I...
But one of the things I thought maybe we could touch on just as we
go
finish
to the no-huddle.
We have we've tried to reach out as our little part of Ohio State University to our sister institutions in Southern Ohio, University of Rio Grande, Shawnee State University, Southern State Community College, and OU, Ohio University Chillicothe, are all in proximity to us. And we've had partnerships with those institutions over the years that we've enjoyed. And of course, even this very broadcast that we're part of is a team effort between Rio Grande and our OSU South Center's business team. So just that... an example of what can be accomplished when people look at something and an opportunity and try to make the most of it. And we certainly are always looking for new ways to engage with our sister institutions in Southern Ohio.
Well, I think Southern Ohio is very fortunate to have several really outstanding higher education institutions with some of the best leaders in higher education any place in the country. And so our partners there are people who really do stimulate and support us and who we feel very close to.
We found it to be very true, and I know we enjoy the relationship with the President Michelle Johnson over at Rio Grande. We have a new president at Shawnee State University that started this past summer, President Kurtz, I believe.
Yes, she's a part of IUC, and so I see her. And yes, and President Johnson's an outstanding person.
Absolutely. Well, I really have enjoyed this opportunity to sit and visit with you in your home environment, and one that, as I say, I have just that much familiarity with from many, many years ago. But
well,
of course,
you have that much familiarity with, like,
but from where I sit, this hands are in great shape, and we look forward to seeing you in Southern Ohio when you're out on tour again, and you know where to call if we can ever help you in anything in our end of the woods.
Let me say thanks for coming by to visit us. Great to see you. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.